Good evening, everybody. Welcome to our meeting this evening. Before we begin, we'll start with normal housekeeping items. Although it's posted within the meeting room at various locations, I want to advise all persons attending this meeting that it is and has been the policy of the township to tape record all public meetings for the purpose of providing accurate minutes. In addition, the Board of Supervisors met at 6:30 p.m. in executive session to discuss land, legal, and personnel matters. That being said, we will call this meeting to order. This is the regularly scheduled Board of Supervisors meeting scheduled for Tuesday, October 12th, 2021. Would everyone please stand for the Pledge of Allegiance?
Pledge of Allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the Republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Mr. Crispin, would you please conduct the roll call?
Supervisor Cejudo?
Here.
Supervisor Ford?
Here.
Supervisor Nutt?
Here.
Supervisor Wyckoff?
Here.
And Supervisor Brizzo?
Here.
There are five present, Mr. Chairman.
All right, thank you, Mr. Crispin. Seeing as all members of the board are present, we have a quorum. We'll move forward with this evening's business. The first item on our agenda is our normal visitor public comment session. So this is one of the two opportunities on the agenda during the meeting for members of the public to come forward to the podium and place public comment into the record. So it's not really a question and answer session, although sometimes we use discretion and we will address issues. But typically, we ask all members of the public wishing to speak to come forward, state their first name, last name, their address, and then we typically ask folks to make their case or make their public comment in 3 minutes or less. Again, it's not a hard and fast rule. I keep the time. So, you know, we try to show deference. If someone is in the middle of making a point, we typically let them finish up. But I also, if you're getting close to the three-minute mark, I will gently interrupt and ask you to wrap up, right? So we do that because, as you can see at our meetings, there's lots of other business that has to occur during the course of the evening, and we need to get to that business as well. And there's also a second opportunity to speak at the end of the meeting. So with that, I'm going to open up the floor again. Anyone from the public, anyone in the room wishing to address the board, place a comment into the record. This is the time to do so. Just ask that you come forward, state your first name, last name, and keep it to about 3 minutes. Seeing as no one has come forward, again, reminder, we have a second session at the end of the meeting. We have special presentations to make tonight, so before we get into the business of the meeting, we have two particular presentations. We're honored to have the chairman of the Board of Dauphin County Commissioners here this evening, Mike Pries, and Jerry Fieser, the director of the Bureau of Registration and Elections for Dauphin County, present. I'd ask both come forward. They have a very special presentation they'd like to make to Mr. John Grob of Darren Township.
Indeed we do. And I want to thank you all for having us this evening. It's great to be back here where I had the privilege of serving as a township supervisor for 5 years from 2006 to 2011. And I think it's fitting that we have an individual here tonight who is also a former school board member. And Derry Township School District has many times received a blue ribbon designation for their outstanding accomplishments to the school system. And Derry Township supervisors, I think if there was such an award, would receive a similar kind of award on an annual basis for the great work that each of you do as elected officials on behalf of the township residents, as well as our great township staff, the police department, public works, community development, the library, on and on, Parks and Rec, the wonderful job that each of you does on an annual basis. And as a Derry Township resident, I thank you for the great work that you all do. I'm here joined today by Jerry Fieser, our Director of Elections, for a special presentation. We have an individual here with us who's a distinguished member of our community. He was a teacher at Milton Hershey School for over 40 years, four decades. He has voted in 50-plus consecutive elections here, and that is an award that gathered the attention of folks at the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, the state, the governor, and the director of elections at the statewide level. I have here with me today Jerry Feaser, our director of elections. I'm going to ask Jerry to come up with me right now. The individual that we're honoring tonight is John Grob. As he said, he taught for over 40 years at the Milton Hershey School. He was assistant coach for middle school football and high school gymnastics. He also was an announcer and scoreboard operator for 52 years for high school basketball. Here's an individual that has given his most prized personal treasure, his time, over and over and over again to the community he loves. And we're so honored and thankful for you doing that. But that's not exactly why we're here tonight. We're here because of what you've done as a registered voter. He's also an honorary member of the Milton Hershey School Alumni Association and was named the Milton Hershey School Athletic Hall of Fame last year, which is another great accomplishment. He was elected four terms as a member of the Derry Township School Board and represented the school board of the Joint Operating Committee of the Dauphin County Committee and the Derry Township Tax Association. He was also elected to two terms on the Derry Township Board of Auditors. In addition to his other community service, he also served in the Kiwanis Club of Hershey-Hummelstown and a driver and assistant for the people movers, perhaps his most important service to the community. His voting record, as we mentioned, was over 50 consecutive years, and he served as a Derry Township poll worker for 14 years. He's here tonight with his beloved wife, Susan, who has served, I believe, 28 years as a judge of elections in Derry 13. So let's give her a hand before we go. So John, we have with us not just a citation from the state of Pennsylvania, which I would like you to come up right now. Mr. Abruzzo, Chairman, would you please come down here and join us? This is from the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania, Tom Wolf, Governor, and the Secretary of the Commonwealth, where it says, "I hereby extend formal congratulations and warmest wishes to John H. Grob of the County of Dauphin in the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania in celebration of being inducted into the Pennsylvania Voter Hall of Fame for having voted consecutively every November election for the last 50 years, for having demonstrated commitment to democracy, and for trusting and supporting the electoral process of this great Commonwealth and the United States of America." Signed, Tom Wolf. Congratulations. I also have from the county, from Commissioner Saylor, Commissioner Hartwick, and myself, a proclamation that I would like to present into the record, if I may. Okay. "We, the Dauphin County Board of Commissioners, joined with Derry Township officials and residents and the community at large in honoring John Grob for his distinction in the Pennsylvania Voter Hall of Fame for voting an astonishing 50-plus consecutive elections. Whereas John epitomizes community service and has been a pillar of the Derry Township community as a teacher, coach, and familiar face and name at area events, games, and businesses. Whereas, among a long list of positions held and accolades earned, John was elected to four terms as a member of the Derry Township School Board, represented the school board on the Joint Operating Committee of Dauphin County and the Derry Township Tax Association. Whereas, along with being a consistent voter, John has served as a poll worker in Derry Township for 14 years, and his wife, Susan, is judge of elections for Derry Township's 13th precinct for 28 years. Whereas the Derry Township community and Dauphin County as a whole are fortunate to have citizens so compassionate, committed, and involved in government and community affairs, and being part of advancement and positive change. Therefore, we join the 286,000 residents of Dauphin County in congratulating John Grob on his Pennsylvania Voter Hall of Fame status, and in recognition of his continued commitment to strengthening his community, we proclaim October 12, 2021 as John Grob Day in Dauphin County."
Jerry, this is an important time.
your comments as well.
I certainly do want to join Commissioner Freese in acknowledging both John and Susan and the hard work that they do. This election year, we will be electing new judges and inspectors of election. You will notice when you go to the polls, there's a lot of blank spots on the ballot. So I would encourage you as you go about meeting with constituents to encourage them to step forward, to fill the shoes that are being left vacant by a lot of our poll workers. It's a very important job, and it's something that, you know, we can't do anything for elections if we don't have those people on the front line. A lot of people say, I run the elections. No, I prepare the elections. The judges and the inspectors of the election, they're the ones that run the elections in Dauphin County. And without them, we couldn't do our job. I also wouldn't be doing my job if I didn't acknowledge that prior to this election, we did move the polling place for Dairy 3 back to the firehouse. And I will say that it is the first time since 2013 when I became the director that I actually heard someone say thank you for moving the polling place. There's a lot of excitement about moving back to the firehouse. So we've already sent out voter ID cards and postcards. Reminders will be going out in the mail this week. So again, I just want to join Commissioner Priest, Chairman Bruzzo, and the rest of the Board of Supervisors in congratulating John and Susan. Thank you.
We know you have a very important matter about to take place, the swearing in of a new police officer who's joining maybe the most prestigious township police department in the state of Pennsylvania, so congratulations, gentlemen.
In the Middle East after the USMC. He was a police officer and then a police instructor with Pentagon Force Protection Agency. And then later a police officer, training officer for the US Navy at the Mechanicsburg Naval Support Activity Facility. He is a recent graduate of the Act 120 Police Academy, and we're honored that he chose our department to apply to and chose us to come on board. We're very honored to have somebody who has committed so much time to his country and to his fellow Marines, and we're hoping that he carries that same zest for our community and becoming a member of our community and the department that protects it and serves it. So with that, I will ask that Elliot and your family, if you could come up front with Chairman Bruzzo. There's your copy. So if you just want to stand here and face the chairman.
Yeah, right, Elliot. So we're going to relax for 1 second. Before we swear you in, or we swear to officers here at Dairy Township, I'd like to remind the folks in the room and certainly our new officers just how proud we are of the police department here in Dairy Township. It's got a rich history, a great tradition. As the department began in 1966, formed as a department, with a mission to protect the public professionally, ethically, with integrity. They have more than upheld that mission over the years, and many of them, all of the men and women in this room and the men and women of the department generally have really led by example in that regard. And so while most important every day when you come to work is your own safety, because you want to make sure you go home to your family at the end of every shift, whether that's night or day, we appreciate following the mission of the department. And again, protecting the public professionally, ethically, and integrity. So with that, I'm going to ask you to raise your right hand and repeat after me. I'll take it a little chance, okay? I, Elliot E. Torres.
I, Elliot E. Torres.
Being appointed as a police officer for the Derry Township Police Department.
Being appointed as a police officer for the Derry Township Police Department.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
Do solemnly swear that I will support, obey, and defend.
The Constitution of the United States.
The Constitution of the United States.
The laws and Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
The laws and Constitution of the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania.
And all municipal ordinances of the Township of Derry.
And all municipal ordinances of the Township of Derry.
I will respect the constitutional rights of all persons.
I will respect the rights of all the constitutional rights of all persons.
With regard to liberty, equality, and justice.
With regard to liberty, equality, and justice.
I will perform all duties impartially.
I will perform all duties impartially.
Without bias or prejudice.
Without bias or prejudice.
With regard to any person's sex, race, or religious belief.
With regard to any person's race, sex, or religious beliefs.
All persons will be treated equally.
All persons will be treated equally.
With courtesy, consideration, and dignity.
With courtesy, consideration, and dignity.
I understand that by giving this oath and pledging my best efforts.
I understand by giving this oath and pledging my best efforts.
The Township of Derry is under no obligation to accept.
The Township of Derry is under no obligation to accept
my best efforts as an acceptable level of conduct.
My best efforts as an acceptable level of conduct.
Behavior or performance.
Behavior or performance.
I will faithfully discharge the duties of police officer.
I will faithfully discharge the duties of police officer.
To the best of my abilities.
To the best of my abilities.
With honor and fidelity.
With honor and fidelity.
So help me God.
So help me God.
Congratulations. Consent calendar. So as you know, there are certain perfunctory business items we can place under the consent calendar, and we can accept one motion for the passage of all of these items. The items under the consent calendar for this evening's meeting are the adoption of the Board of Supervisors meeting minutes from our September 28, 2021 Board of Supervisors meeting. The next item under B1 is the release of the remaining balance of the performance security provided for the required site improvements represented by the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Hershey Park 2020 attraction, plat 1298. And lastly, the approval of accounts payable in the amount of $762,466.50 and payroll in the amount of $282,000. $1,699.44. So we can take one motion for all items if that's the will of the board.
I'll go ahead and make a motion to approve all items on the consent calendar, items A, B, and C.
Motion made by Ms. Court to approve all items under the consent calendar for this evening's meeting. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mrs. Nutt. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes. That moves us to the next item on the agenda, which is new business. And the first item under new business is the discussion of vultures with a representative from the United States Department of Agriculture, Tony Rollins. So, Tony, if you wouldn't mind coming forward, I'm going to kind of turn this part of this part of the meeting over to Mr. Chrisman, and you're welcome to come up to the podium. And if you wouldn't mind, just state your full name for the record and spell your last name for the court reporter.
My name is Tony Rolland, T-O-N-Y-R-O-L-A-N-D.
Very good, Mr. Chrisman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, we have been discussing the vulture issue in Derry Township now for about 6 months to a year. We've had numerous complaints from residents in different areas of the township regarding the vultures. And that led us to reach out to HENR, specifically Mr. White, who is here, and the Honest Jason White, to discuss what Zoo America has been doing to kind of address the vulture issue on their side of the fence. And all roads have led us to Tony Rowland. And as the board is aware, vultures are a protected species under federal law. And so there are very limited things that any homeowner can do to try to mitigate the problem themselves. So in contact with the USDA, Tony was kind enough to come down. He does serve as district manager for this part of the state. And we conducted a site visit last Monday where we were able to observe some of the vulture activity in the township, specifically in the area near Zoo America, and what the impact they have had as a species to the homeowners. Some of the destruction that has gone on. I think for tonight's discussion, before I turn it over to Tony, I think the goal for the supervisors this evening is to get an understanding from USDA what, as a township, our options are to work with the department to try to come up with a plan and what that would entail to help mitigate this problem for a long time. We don't want them just to go away and move to a different part of the township. We need the USDA's guidance to try to help move these birds to a safer location, hopefully not impacting residents in a negative way. So Tony, I'll turn it over to you if you have comments you'd like to add. I know the board members may have individual questions themselves, but we'll have an open discussion.
Sure. Yeah, we became involved roughly 3 years ago when we were contacted by Zoo America because of the increase of black vultures and the concerns that they were causing. The roost itself, the population in the area, I would guess was probably been here at least 5 years, if not a little bit longer. It just got to the point where it started to continue to cause more and more concerns for everybody in the area around Park Avenue and the zoo and so forth. So population has been increasing in Hershey as it has been throughout the state of Pennsylvania in recent years. Generally, black vultures are considered a vulture of the southern states, but more recently, they've been moving further north into Pennsylvania and in New York. And some of it is thought to be as a result of climate change. Temperatures getting a little warmer, and they've been moving further north because of that. But so they're relatively new to Pennsylvania, and they do roost communally. So you have sometimes very large groups of vultures that roost together at night, and that's when you can start having, as the population grows, you can start having more damage and more concerns from the vultures. Damage to residential buildings. Vultures like to tear apart the asphalt shingles and the caulking from around windows and flashings. Rubber roofs are easily damaged by black vultures picking away at it, as well as damaged automobiles from vultures picking apart the rubber seals around the windshields, sunroofs, and wipers, and their droppings are very acidic to automobile paint. So there's been more and more concerns with the vultures here in Pennsylvania in recent years. So we've been providing some management of vultures here in Hershey area. Like I said, the last 3 years or so, but last year we started a trap, tag, and release effort where we were capturing black vultures, installing green tags on their wings with unique identifiable numbers so that each bird can be identified from another, and then released, and now we're getting results back from the general public that are observing these birds and recording those numbers, and we're getting to see where all the birds are moving around to. So far we've gotten reports in 6 neighboring states and Quebec from the birds right here in Hershey. Do you have any questions?
Yeah, I think we do have a number of questions because we are concerned with what we've seen over in that neighborhood. We do think, I think as a board, that it rises the level of public health and safety concern. You know, we've seen the damage that the birds have done to property belonging to the neighbors in that neighborhood. It is a very large flock, if that's what you call it, right? I counted over 50 one morning I was there. I think we were sent pictures. There had to be 100 in one of the pictures. We see that they seem to be, they seem to be resting on the silo building. We've seen them in the zoo. I've seen them in the bear's den with the bears out, with the bears actually swatting at them. I've seen them on the monorail over the zoo. Our concern is that they're just not going to leave that location. They seem very happy, and happy is not the right, content, right? And we have had issues in the township over the years with these vultures. They've been in other parts of the township. I'm sure they've been in other parts, of the county and the Commonwealth. But in the past, when we've had issues, we had an issue at a park called Brookside Park. That was almost 10 years ago. And I don't recall then exactly how we made them, in what manner we made them uncomfortable to leave. But what I think we're looking for tonight, Tony, is what are the options? What can we do? Because we're willing to be a partner in this. This has gotten to a point where we must take action. I think by we, this board believes it's us, Hershey Park Zoo, and the owner of the silo building. We want to be a part of that solution, but we need to know what the options are. The sooner the better is the way I think we look at it at this point.
Right.
Can you shed any light on this, that for us?
Sure. Yeah, I would agree that, there are many options out there to manage the vultures, and it's going to take a variety of several of those over, a period of time. The roost didn't just come overnight. It's been here for several years and feels comfortable here now, and so we need to make them feel uncomfortable. So it's going to take a variety of methods that could include pyrotechnics, which are basic fireworks shot from a starter pistol. It could include maybe some habitat modifications where we might need to thin or remove a few roost trees that they might be roosting in. It could include suspending some effigies either in some of the roost trees or on some of the house roofs to keep them from from what to the roost there. We're possibly on top of the silos. There's anything that, you know, could startle them or make them feel uncomfortable is would be beneficial. We've used the inflatable tube dancer. We find like maybe at a car lot. They work pretty well against vultures. Lasers designed for wildlife. We've also used paintballs as well. But each situation has its own individual circumstances, so we can't say, you know, just use one method. So, you know, this house might be not able, you know, we might not be able to use pyro tanks at this house, but might be able to hang effigies and vice versa somewhere else. So it's going to take a variety of tools and methods to manage the vultures. And it's going to have to be aggressive at it and, you know, provide a lot of effort up front to make them feel uncomfortable so that it's not just startling one location and they fly off to, you know, another house. It's going to have to be a coordinated effort with multiple stakeholders in that area. So everything from habitat modification with roosting trees, exclusion, dispersal methods, we're going to continue to do some trapping and tagging and get collecting data that way to see where all the vultures do end up going. So it's going to take some effort, and homeowners can do some management as well. You know, they see the vultures on the roof, they can go out and bang some pots and pans or spray them with water. They don't like being sprayed with water, so you can purchase the most activated sprinkler systems at some stores, and you can hook those up either in your lawn if they're living in your lawn, or you can attach them to your roof. So when vultures land up there, it turns on and sprays it with water. So there are multiple methods, and it's going to take probably all of them to get this roost uncomfortable and moving along.
And I understand that there's a cooperative agreement that we can enter into with the township, with the USDA to sort of embark upon some kind of a program?
That is correct. We do require reimbursement for our services. We're a federal agency, so it's, you know, we're not making a profit, but we do have to get reimbursed for their time and mileage and supplies. So there would be a cooperative service agreement would need to be attained in addition to a WS Form 12A, which just basically is a permission slip allowing us to use certain methods on individual properties. So each property owner would have to give us written permission to be on the property. So,
I have a question about the cooperative agreement.
Sure.
At what point in the process would we have some sort of a plan so we might know the scope of the work and the cost, and we might be able to then better determine who would participate in the agreement or the work with us?
Right. Well, some of the cost will depend on the management actions needed in the different locations. So I've not been able to get a hold of all the stakeholders yet in the area. So once I'm able to speak with them, I would have a better idea of what we would need to do and what this cost would be. I have not heard back from the gentleman or the company that owns the silos. I would like to speak with them, and I didn't know if there's any additional residents here that were interested in receiving services as well, you know, if they were having damage to their house or car.
And how, Tony, has this worked in other communities? And we understand this has been happening in Marietta and other neighboring communities and across the Commonwealth. How has it worked well? That you can give us an example of the process.
We enter into an agreement for services. It's written out in the Department of Service Agreement. There's a work plan that describes the actions that we would perform. And so based on that, we would provide those services, and a adjust the methods as needed, depending on how the vultures react. So it's worked out well in other locations. We don't work with everybody. We have not provided services to any management services to Marietta and some other communities. But the communities that we do provide services to, it is effective. And like I said, we tailor our management based on each location, depending on the size of the population and the layout of the community.
Hi, Tony, thank you for coming in tonight. I have a question. You mentioned at the beginning of your remarks that you had contracted out with Zoo America, and I think it was 2017, on a cooperative agreement. How did that work, and why did that stop? Because it seems like they're still here.
Yeah, it has not stopped. We just started doing some tagging and last year, so we would capture the birds and tag them and release them to see where the birds are going, to know how many we're working with. We found out, our agencies found out working, conducting that research in other states, that sometimes the population that actually uses the roost is larger than what you actually see at that site. So if you're seeing 200 birds, you could be dealing with maybe three times that many birds actually using that roost, as they'll sometimes rotate between roost sites.
So do you still have a cooperative agreement with Zoo America at the moment? Are you still working with them to mitigate?
Yes, we are.
Okay.
So, Chris, maybe you could update us on the conversations you've had with Zoo America or Hershey Park and also the owner of the silo building?
I can defer comment to Mr. White about some of the things that they have been handling in Zoo America, but we did reach out to the owners of the silos earlier this week. They were unable to be here this evening, but they have committed to repairing the damaged windows in the facility so that it would keep any interested vultures out of it. What we don't know is, because of the height of the structure, if they are roosting on top of that facility and whether or not they're creating nests up there. I did reach out to our police department earlier today to ask and inquire if we can use their drones to go up and get some footage of what's going on top of the silos to get a better understanding of how it's being used by the vultures so that it can help Mr. Boland develop a plan to address that. I'm not comfortable with having people go up on top of the structure simply because of the safety aspect of it. So if we can go take a look at it with drones, that's a lot better. I can turn it over to Mr. White if he had some comments about Zoo America and kind of the efforts that they've been doing on their part to try to address the concern.
Hi. Good evening, Jason White. I represent Hershey Entertainment and Resorts, and we run Zoo America. I would agree, starting back in 2018 is when we started seeing the prevalence of the vulture population around Zoo America. And we did partner and reached out to the USDA for their assistance once we realized this was going to be a growing problem as the flock got larger. Starting in 2019, they came out, they were doing the tagging and some of the trapping to relocate or track some of the birds' movements. And we hung the vulture effigies. We did everything we could. We had to evaluate some of the practices that the USDA uses as a form of pyro and how it would also affect our resident animal population. For obvious reasons. Then the pandemic hit, so the USDA kind of went to remote working. There was a bit of a hiatus on their overt efforts at the zoo. However, our zoo personnel are just as frustrated with this problem as all the residents of the township are. We have sustained considerable damage to our roofs and our nettings, in addition to just the mess that these birds make that we have to clean up prior to opening to the public every single day. So then we did enter into the cooperative service agreement in 2020, the formal agreement. And we, again, with the USDA's guidance, they sent people out with paintballs to start shooting at the birds, not hitting them, but in the area to disrupt them. Our staff was using water hoses, water pistols, anything we could following their advice, short of the pyro, again, because of the disruptive nature to our animal population, to continue to try and disrupt the birds, and they honestly just don't seem to be relocating. It probably serves well to mention, we've been operating the zoo in its current form for over 40 years, since the late 70s. No substantial changes have occurred in that 40 years to how we treat the animals that would draw vultures to that all of a sudden in 2018. Our carnivores that eat meat, and it's probably worth mentioning as well, vultures eat carrion, the rotting flesh of dead animals. Our carnivores are fed indoors in the instance of the bears in enclosed cages that the vultures couldn't possibly get to in regard to our wild cats. So it's not a matter of the birds being attracted because of any of the environmental conditions presented by operating a zoo. We're quite frankly, same with the USDA, not sure why they've chosen it as their location to roost within the last 3 years or so. So our efforts continue. Our zoo staff is continuing their disruptive actions to try and uproot the birds, and we are willing to partner with the USDA to bring resolution to this because we're just as annoyed at them as everyone else.
Can I ask you a question, Jason?
Certainly.
Is it possible, I don't know, I don't know the answer to this, that's why I'm asking. Do vultures, I've seen them in the bear's den, and I've seen them in that area where the bears are. The bears were out in the area, and there were literally 14 vultures sitting in that area. Yes. Will they eat, like, bear droppings?
I'm not the resident expert in that. I can tell you that the food we feed the bears, it happens indoors, away from where the vultures can get to it. Whether they eat the waste product of the bears or any residual, that might be a USDA question.
Yes, they will eat the scat from the bears.
I mean, that was the impression I was getting. I was up in the neighborhood, so I wasn't that close, but they were literally right up against the bears. The bears were swatting at them.
Right.
So, look, I think you are right. I don't think there's any one reason why they've decided to roost in that area. There are probably multiple factors, but I think what we want to get out of this evening is an agreement with all of us that, you know, maybe we can have a follow-up meeting, a small meeting, of the key people to put together this. Maybe we can be a part of the cooperative agreement that's already in existence. Maybe we don't have to do a new one. I'd like to get the owner of this building involved. It sounds like we've been given permission to do things on this property. But I agree, Jason. I think we all agree, because we've all got a little bit of experience in the vultures over the years, personal or through the board. And it is, as Tony says, I think it's got to be a sort of a sustained effort, and it may take some time. But I think hopefully we're done the part where we're tagging them, and now we're at the part where we're doing whatever we can to make them uncomfortable. And as Rick would point out, you know, the unfortunate part is that we want them out of that neighborhood. We don't know where they're going to go next, you know, so we might cause some other neighborhood heartache. But we'll just have to keep trying to employ these same kind of methods until maybe they go to a place where it's open space and they're not, you know, bothering the homeowners.
Yeah, absolutely, and AG&R remains committed to this. We're willing to sit down in another meeting and continue to work with the USDA and the township on some means to continue this effort.
And I know Natalie's been working on sort of a longer-term solution, so she's got... So, Tony, from your perspective, this might be of interest to you in terms of a longer-term solution.
So we reached out to Congressman Perry's office. I know in the prior meetings that we'd spoken about this piece of federal legislation that protects these species. It's over 100 years old. It's very antiquated, and it leaves townships and private businesses and private homeowners with very little recourse to do much. So Congressman Perry looked into it. He had a staff working on it as soon as he learned about the issues we were facing here in Derry Township. And in his the staff's looking into this, they realized that this was an issue not just here, not just in Marietta, but all across the country. And in fact, there is a piece of legislation, SR 668, called the Endangered Species Management Self-Determination Act. And Congressman Perry introduced the companion bill today, House Resolution 5550. And so that's currently being circulated for sponsors and support. And basically what it does is, we all know that the vultures are needed. They provide a very valuable service to the food chain. but they've been protected for 100 years, so much so that now they're everywhere. So this would fix the antiquated law and basically allow for the black vultures to be responsibly culled if they are reasonably believed to be endangering real or personal property. So obviously we'd like to do as much as we can to help the homeowners and the businesses that are here in Derry Township, but perhaps should this piece of legislation be passed, there is some additional mitigation efforts that would help, not just here in Derry, but all across the country.
Does anybody else have any questions or for Jason or Tony?
Just a quick thought about the agreement that we might work on, considering you already have one with HENR, and that we might enter into this, and the owners of the silos might enter into this. I don't know if it makes sense at some point that these are three separate agreements. So, you know, instead of a joint one, but maybe something to look at. I'm not sure, Tony, what you've done in other communities where there are multiple partners. I definitely agree this is a holistic approach and not just your responsibility or our responsibility or the homeowners, but it would be interesting, I think, just to make sure that we're not taking responsibility for a piece of this that really doesn't fall in the township.
Chris, if you wouldn't mind, you will follow up with Jason and Tony, perhaps put together a smaller stakeholder meeting. Truthfully, I think there should be some, you know, it may not be at this first meeting, but there needs to be some dialogue with the residents on Trinidad so that they're, because I do think they're part of the solution too. I think we all have to be in agreement in terms of what, you know, they need to know too if there's pyrotechnics going off over their own. You know, everybody needs to be aware of what efforts we're taking, and they will play a part in this. But we'll kind of turn that over to you to organize the first key stakeholder meeting and then communicate that properly with the residents in that area, and then and just keep us up to date in terms of what you need from us, right? So that you'll get more information about the cooperative agreements that Susan's referencing, and we can decide what form that takes. But Tony, we're interested in being a part of engaging in a cooperative agreement, whether it's piggybacking on to Irish Entertainment's, you know, I don't know, our solicitor can tell us if that's a good or bad idea. So, you know, we'll be fine, but we do want to move forward and give some of the residents out there a little relief, okay?
That's fine. Thank you.
Thank you guys both.
Thank you.
Very much. Thank you, Tony. Thank you, Jason. Okay, that'll take us to the next item on the agenda, which is B1-4. It's the consideration of resolution number 2021-19 authorizing the transfer of funds between the township designated depositories and the opening of new accounts in accordance with the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code. Mr. Crispin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. As the board is aware, each January we do approve a resolution of the supervisor system with the townships, with Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code, naming all of the depositories currently in Derry Township so that if the township should choose to move its funds between different banks, we can do so without a whole lot of RFPs that go out for banking services. So it does give the township flexibility. I would say right now the township currently has about $12 million of funds with DBT Truist. We are interested, the administration is recommending move these funds out of BBT to move into another depository where we can gain better interest rates, take advantage of those opportunities with different banks, and more importantly, not have to pay fees on some of the things that we do on a routine basis here as a township. So the resolution before you tonight, 2021-19, is formalizing again, even though we've done our initial resolution at the beginning of the year. This will basically cement that idea to be able to allow us to move these funds tonight to make you aware formally here in the public setting that we are moving funds in the amount of $12 million or so over a period of time. There'll be an amount moving rather quickly. We'll keep some funds at BB&T until all the accounts payable, you know, clear. And, you know, hopefully by the early part of next year, we'll have all the funds moved where they need to be.
All right. Anybody have any questions for Chris? If not, we can accept the motion.
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors approve Resolution 2021-19 authorizing the transfer of funds between township-designated depositories and the opening of new accounts in accordance with the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code.
Thank you. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zaluda. Any further discussion?
Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. This motion passes unanimously. Thank you, Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
The next item is C5-11. It's the request of authorization to solicit for a request for proposals for township auditing services in accordance with Article 9, Section 917 of Pennsylvania's Second Class Township Code. And again, Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Every so many years, it's important for the township to evaluate its auditing services, and really, it's good to have a fresh set of eyes take a look at your books to make sure that we're managing the public's funds appropriately. And over time, townships get comfortable with certain auditors, and I think it's a good opportunity now for us to go out, see what other firms are available in the area to come in and give us proposals to evaluate our books and look at the township's audit from a different perspective. So what this resolution is before you tonight, a request to go out for proposals. This is consistent with Article 9, Section 917 of the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code. In your packet is a copy of the request for proposals application. We would then go out and solicit this and support to approve this tonight. We would get this out right away tomorrow to different firms to see if they're interested in putting in a proposal. Ideally, we'll be opening those on November 8th, and we will look to make a recommendation to the supervisors probably in December. Because ideally, you'd like to get a new account started in January, the fiscal year, so as our books close in December, we're ready to go.
All right. Questions for Mr. Christman? If not, we can entertain a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the Board of Supervisors authorize the solicitation of a request for proposals for township auditing services in accordance with Article 9. Section 917 of the Pennsylvania Second Class Township Code.
Right. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Ms. Court. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it, and the motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is D12-13. It's requesting authorization for the township manager to execute a letter of support for Hummelstown Borough's application for PennDOT TASA grant for pedestrian safety improvements within the borough. Mr. Christman.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If you remember earlier this summer, the borough did request a letter of support for a different grant opportunity for the same project. They're now looking to apply for PennDOT TASA grant dollars to assist them with their pedestrian safety improvements. Same project. What attached in the packet tonight is a very similar letter of support. If the board is so inclined to approve it tonight, I would sign that and we'll get that out tomorrow. This could certainly help them along the way to gain some more grant dollars to help complete the project. I think there's some really good interconnectivity between the borough and the township. Certainly in time that if we can assist another municipality get a grant, it's a good thing.
All right. Questions for Mr. Christman? Hearing none, is there a motion?
I'll make a motion that the Board of Supervisors authorize the township manager to execute the letter of support for Hummelstown Borough's application for a PennDOT TASA grant for pedestrian safety improvements within the borough.
Thank you. Motion made by Mr. Wyckoff. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Seconded by Mr. Zaluda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes. Thank you. The next item is F17-34. It's the preliminary final subdivision plan for 323 East Arriba Avenue, Plat 1345. Mr.
Emmer. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. This plan represents the subdivision portion of land owned by Spring Creek Church of the Brethren to be conveyed to lands of Ian and Erica Norton. Spring Creek Church of the Brethren fronts on East Arriba Avenue, Meadow Lane, and East Granada Avenue, and the property owned by the Nortons front on East Arriba Avenue. So the Norton's property is on the left side of the plan that's projected, and I'm going to zoom into the property a little bit.
The purpose of this plan is really conveying this small portion of property from the church to the Norton's property. Since no new development is proposed under this plan, stormwater and traffic concerns do not exist. A DEP planning module was submitted with the plan and will be signed by the Board of Supervisors. Of interest is, in 1991, Spring Creek Church of Brethren did provide Derry Township with an easement for the extension of the Jonathan Eschenell Memorial Trail through their property. For that reason, coupled with the fact that this subdivision proposes no new lots or density, the applicant has requested affirmative sidewalk installation along the frontage of the Spring Creek Church property. Sidewalks already exist along the 323 East Arena Avenue property. Along with this plan, they've asked for some waivers of the subdivision and land development ordinance. They've asked for a waiver of stormwater plans and profiles, sanitary plans and profiles, water and gas line plans and profiles, wetland determination, location of existing structures within 200 feet of the tract being subdivided, waiver from topographic land contours, and in each of those cases, the Planning Commission and staff are recommending that the waiver be granted. They've also asked for a waiver of card waiver, and again, the Planning Commission and staff is recommending that that waiver be granted. They've asked for a waiver from providing curbs along the frontage of the Spring Creek property. The Planning Commission staff recommended the waiver be granted for the East Arena Avenue, abutting 323 area. They've asked for a waiver from providing additional right-of-way width of the existing roads, and again, the Planning Commission staff recommended that that waiver be granted. They've asked for a waiver for providing sidewalks on abutting streets that abut the Spring Creek Church of the Brethren property. And their Planning Commission staff recommended that a permit be granted with the stipulation that Spring Creek Church enter into our standard agreement for deferment of curbs and sidewalks. Obviously, this is a pretty simple plan. I'm recommending approval of Plat 1345, conditioned upon the following items being satisfactorily addressed: that the applicant reimburse the township for all costs incurred in reviewing the plan no later than November 12th of 2021, that the following items be addressed by April 12th of 2022, that they either install all the proposed monumentation and markers and have them inspected by HRG, which it's my understanding that the monuments and markers are installed, but HRG has not inspected them yet. Or in lieu of not all the monument markers being installed, if they do want to report the plan, then they would need to enter into a financial security agreement with the township to guarantee the installation of monuments and markers. The applicant needs to revise the list of waivers and deferments in the plan in accordance with the request that they've made. The applicant needs to comply with all of the township engineer's comments from their letter dated October 4th, 2021. The applicant needs to provide a CD containing a digital file of the final plan in AutoCAD or DXF compatible format. And then the applicant also needs to provide two originals of the signed and notarized development agreement if they already put in these monuments, or provide two copies of the signed and notarized development and financial security agreement. The applicant, Spring Creek Church of Brethren will need to agree and execute and have notarized two copies of the Declaration of Covenants for the deferment of the curbing and sidewalk installation. The applicant will comply with all outside agency requirements, including but not limited to PennDOT, DEP, FAA, EPA as may be applicable. And then the applicant shall record the deferment agreement or the development and financial security agreement concurrently with the plan. The applicant shall record the declaration of covenants for the deferment of curbs and sidewalk installation concurrently with the plan. I'm recommending that the waivers and deferments are granted as outlined in the explanation section of my item. That completes my brief.
Any questions for Chuck? I see you have the thing pulled up on the screen. Subdivision.
Sure, it's actually Spring Creek Church of the Brethren property is rather large and includes the cemetery and a little caretaker's house. It comes along the property of the Spring Creek condos, which flank the southern side of the property. The land that's that they're conveying property to is this duplex, which has since been joined to be one lot. And the land that they're conveying is 850 square feet.
That's just good to see it. It makes it a little easier to visualize what we're, you know, understand what we can visualize. That's good. Anybody have questions for Chuck on this? If not, there are two suggested motions to approve this item. I will go ahead and make a motion that the waivers and deferments are granted for the subdivision land development ordinance as noted in the explanation section of this agenda item for the preliminary final subdivision plan for 323 East Arena Avenue, plat 1345. Is there a second?
I'll second that.
Motion seconded by Ms. Court. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving this motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. And this first of two motions passes unanimously. Can we have a second motion?
I'll offer the motion that the preliminary final subdivision plan for 323 East Arriva Avenue, plat 14 or 1345, is approved, subject to compliance with items 1 through 10 and the department head recommendation section of this agenda item.
Thank you. Motion made by Ms. Nutt. Is there a second?
I'll second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Zabuda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the second of two motions passes unanimously, and this item is approved. That will bring us to the next item on the agenda, which is G35-36. It's the consideration of the form of trail easements for the Hershey Trust Company. This is for Mr. Emmerich and Mr. Nuss.
Thank you. I'll do a short introduction and then turn the floor over to Mr. Nuss. Hershey Trust Company is proposing the extension of the Jonathan Eschner Memorial Trail as part of the preliminary final subdivision plan for the Hershey Trust Company Bridgeway, Flat 1338. And also as part of the preliminary final subdivision and land development plan for Catherine Hershey School for Early Learning, Plat 1342. The trails will be within new easements to be dedicated to the township. This item is on the agenda to discuss the terms of those easements to ensure the board understands and accepts the terms as proposed.
So, that being said, you know, we're not changing really anything. The township has gotten these easements from Hershey for well over a decade. They contain the same language, but we felt it was important to make sure that the board, that this board, since it's been a little while since we've accepted one of these, understood what the township is agreeing to. Essentially, there's three areas. One, the township is agreeing to be responsible for the maintenance and repair of these trails. Secondly, we're indemnifying HTC because these trails are on HTC property. We are still indemnifying them in case anyone does get injured and file suit. And lastly, we are obtaining a liability insurance covering the use of these trails. Like I said, this is the way these trail easements have been written up until this point. So nothing is changing there. The one thing that is changing is some of the prior easements were actually not permanent. They had a lifespan of 20 or 30 years. In discussions with HTC, Mr. Armstrong has been able to convince HTC to amend those easements to make them permanent so they do not expire. The two easements for these two properties will be permanent and will not expire. So we just want to do this for informational session, you know, informational purposes for the board, to make sure all five of you understood what was happening here and understood that the township, even though these are easements on Hershey's property, we will be responsible generally for DUC's trails, their maintenance, their repair, and any liability that comes from that use.
Does anybody have, any board members have questions for either Mr. Nelson or Mr. Emmer?
I'm not even sure what question asked. Does this affect the cost of our insurance at all if we're going to be converting some of these properties to in perpetuity?
I don't believe so, but I don't know specifically that answer. You're already carrying insurance on some of these trails. The fact that you're adding additional trails to that, I suspect, and that it would have little to no impact on the actual cost. The insurer is probably basing this cost on what they predict the chances are someone using these trails and getting injured. I think generally it's probably pretty low. Also, we as a township have sovereign immunity, so someone using the trail and gets injured, more likely than not, is not going to be able to sue. It's going to be thrown out of court on that basis. So I would think the policy charges for this insurance should be low, but that's a guess on my part. It's not based on any study.
And Chuck, are we going to be responsible for snow removal on these trails?
No, there is no clause for snow removal. We consider these seasonal trails as part of the Jonathan Eschenow Memorial Trail. And in each case, these new trails that are coming online are extensions of the existing Jonathan Eschenow Memorial Trail. And I'll point out also that not only are these trails going to be permanent easements, but there's other trails that already exist on these properties or adjacent to these properties. Those old easements will be converted to permanent easements.
Thank you.
Any other questions? If not, we'll entertain a motion. I'll go ahead and make a recommendation that the board accepts the general terms of the trail easements as proposed. Is there a second? All right, motion was seconded by Ms. Gort. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Aye. Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. The next item on the agenda is H37-44. It's the consideration of resolution 2021-17 to start the process to obtain a Derry Township Transportation Engineer. Mr. Emmerich.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. At your last meeting, you did help give some guidance for who would be on the interviewing team. Now, this is actually the resolution to get the project moving. So in 2010, Derry Township did appoint HRG as their transportation engineer following the appropriate PennDOT procedures. That's important when you use the township engineer on projects that are funded through state or federal money. Unfortunately, that assignment is good for 5 years, and since it is in 2010, it's long since expired. It's therefore necessary for us, again, to obtain the services of a PennDOT qualified transportation engineer in order to comply with the requirements for the road projects. There's nothing wrong with the job that HRG has been doing for us. It's just that in order to have them assigned to certain projects, they need to be the officially properly named, or we need to have an officially properly named municipal transportation engineer. So as was done last time in Derry Township, the selection of the municipal transportation engineer will be using the modified selection process, which is outlined. It takes a lot of the steps out of what's necessary, and it also makes it less project specific. PennDOT allows you to assign and to go through this whole process of interview and appointment for specific projects, or to assign one engineering firm as the municipal engineer for a five-year term, which is my recommendation, because the advertising and selection just takes time, and it's not necessary. And if we do feel it's necessary, it could be done for each individual project. So in light of that, I'm looking for approval of resolution 2021-17, which will then be forwarded to PennDOT for your approval. We'll go through the steps necessary and come back to the boards with the recommendation for municipal transportation engineers. So I'm recommending the board adopt resolution 2021-17 to authorize Chris Bruiser and Carter Wyckoff to sign the policy and procedure for consultant selection form and approve for approval by PennDOT for the selection of the transportation engineer.
All right, very good. Thank you, Mr. Emmerich. Are there any questions for Chuck on this item? And if not, we can accept a motion.
I'll offer a motion that the board hereby adopts resolution number 2021-17 to authorize Christopher Bruzzo and Carter Wyckoff to sign the policy and procedure for consultant selection form, Appendix 7A of PennDOT Publication 93, for approval by PennDOT for the selection of a transportation engineer.
All right, thank you. Motion made by Mrs. Nutt. Is there a second?
Second.
Motion seconded by Mr. Sabuda. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion passes unanimously. Thank you. That takes us to the last under item under new business, which is I-45-41. It's the releasing of performance security and entering the maintenance and security period for the preliminary final subdivision land development plan for the Miller Oral Surgery, Plat 1294. Chuck?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm projecting a image of the land development plan that caused this redevelopment project. Performance security was provided in the original amount of $199,806. Our Board of Supervisors took action on January 6th of 2020 to release $167,315, resulting in the current balance of $32,491. The developer has now requested the release of the remaining balance. HRG has performed an inspection and finds that the remaining balance can be released, provided that there is a guarantee for the structural integrity of the improvements within the right-of-way of Chocolate Avenue. These improvements are estimated by HRG to be $3,600, and for our subdivision ordinance and municipality's planning code for that matter, we would retain 15% of this amount for security, which is $540. If approved by the board, the performance security would be in place for the maintenance period of 18 months. I'm recommending that the Board of Supervisors authorize the release of the remaining balance of the performance security provided in, which are provided, contingent upon the developer providing maintenance security in the amount of $540. And executing the township standard agreement to provide financial security to guarantee the structural integrity and functioning of the improvements constructed as required by a subdivision and land development plan. That completes my report.
Okay, any questions for Chuck on this item? If not, we can accept the motion. I'll go ahead and move that the board authorizes the release of the remaining balance, which is $32,491. Of the performance security provided in the form of Fulton Bank letter of credit number D007658 for the preliminary final subdivision land development plan for Miller Oral Surgery, Plat 1294, contingent upon the developer providing maintenance security in the amount of $540 and executing the township's standard agreement to provide financial security to guarantee the structural integrity and function of improvements constructed as required by a subdivision land development plan. Is there a second?
Seconded
by Ms. Court. Any further discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor of approving the motion, please vote aye.
Aye.
Any opposed? Hearing none, the ayes have it. The motion is approved. Thank you. I did that on my own.
I'm so impressed.
Chuck, that was the lady who suggested the motion. Very good. That takes us, thank you. That concludes new business. The next item on the agenda is supervisor board and committee reports. We'll start with Mr. Zmuda and come all the way around. So, Mr. Zmuda, supervisor board and committee report for tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. No, I had no meetings in the last couple of weeks. However, I'd like to remind everybody that the Halloween parade is tomorrow, 7 o'clock to whenever it's over. And we also, the Downtown Hershey Association is having a Chalktoberfest at the downtown park on Saturday from 11 o'clock till 6 o'clock in the late afternoon. So come drink and be merry. That's all I have.
And volunteer.
And volunteer,
still
yes.
We're looking for volunteers.
The most important part.
You can sign up by going to Facebook, to the Downtown Hershey Association site. There's a link there if anyone's interested in volunteering. Thanks, Rick. I just wanted to mention that the Hershey Area Albany's Diversity Group is holding a session tomorrow night from 7 to 8:30 as we wrap up Hispanic Heritage Month. That is free for people to attend. It's going to be live streamed on the Township's YouTube page. You can register in advance, or if you have a number to register, you're just so welcome to watch it on the live stream or later as it is recorded. And then on November 10th, Representative Patty Kim is going to be our speaker, and she's going to be talking about things that we can do to help stop Asian hate. So that, again, will be live streamed on the Township site, and the public is invited to attend that. These things are, of course, free. Parks and Rec Advisory Board did not meet this past month, but we're scheduled to meet in a few weeks. And I think that's pretty much it for tonight.
Thank you. Mrs.
Dunn? None of my boards or commissions met in the last 2 weeks, no report.
Thank you, Mr. Wyckoff.
None of my boards met. I have no report. Thank you.
All right, and none of my boards. Natalie's on this. I'm on most of the same ones with her, so I have to ask her. I was on vacation 2 weeks ago. I apologize. I apologize for not being meeting when I was on vacation. I don't think I missed any meetings other than this part of the meeting. Mr. Christman, I would just like for the ICDA, the Industrial Development Commercial Authority, I'd like us to make sure we do have our November meeting, and I'd like at that meeting for Mr. Verdelli and the folks who mentioned to provide the most recent update so that we can advise this board of the most recent update on the hotel tax revenue and sort of the pilot payment, all of those things. So could we make it a point to make sure that that is the agenda for the ICBA meeting in November?
Absolutely.
Thank you. All right, that I don't have anything other than that. That will take us to departmental reports. And first, departmental report, not because he's not perfect, but because he is... appears after letter A, the police department chief warner.
I think it's a position. Position. Oh, man.
I'll just speak up loud.
Maybe that'll be a little bit better.
All right. So, just a couple quick things. We are currently undergoing our virtual assessment for our accreditation through CALEA. They started today. They will be doing a public comment tomorrow. We've advertised that through our social media sites, through the e-news on how to make public comments during those sessions. And then they'll be wrapping up on Thursday with the virtual on-site assessment. We'll wait for a report to come out. Like they said, right now it's roughly taking about 2 to 2.5 months to get verification that we are in compliance and doing a good job in reference to our accreditation. Just to quickly comment to Mr. Crispin's comments on the drone activity for the vultures. I believe one of our pilots is out tonight. He's going to be doing some thermal footage from the top of the silos to see what the roosting is at nighttime and see what's going on there. And then one of our pilots is out tomorrow again, and I think they're going to be doing some daytime footage just to see what's going on as well. And then I just want to take the opportunity to thank the board for helping welcome our newest officer this evening. I know he's excited. He's already been through some of the painful part of reading through policy and rules and regulations. He's into his second phase of FTO, where he'll be out on field training with an officer that started today. So he's excited to get going on that. And fortunately, unfortunately, by the end of this month, we'll have lost 3 more officers to retirement through the year. So we'll look at
trying to fill some of those positions in the spring of 2022.
Thank you, Chief. Mr. Sassaman, Fire Department.
Thank you. Just two quick things. 82 calls for the month of September, and this past week we had Anticota, where our crews stood by over there 12 hours a day for the entire event. And that's all I have for this evening.
Thank you for the update. Thank you. Thank the volunteers for all that hard work. It really is appreciated. Public Works, standing in for Mr. Tom Clark, other than Robert Piccolo.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just one thing, I'm sure probably everybody knows about it, is the pond, the Bullfrog Valley Pond. We finished getting the material out that we're going to get out. I equated to around 60 triaxle loads. That material, I'm sure Tom Clark told you that material was taken out to the landfill to be used out there. This afternoon, late afternoon today, at approximately 3 o'clock, we closed the gate so the pond could start filling up again. So the next thing we'll do then is remove the mulch from the trail, get everything cleaned up, and then we'll be able to open that back up. So it'll be interesting to see with the flow coming into the pond how long it takes to fill it. I'm kind of interested in seeing that myself. So hopefully we get that back in shape.
Dick, and I hope you didn't just say this, but I was asking Natalie a question, but how many feet were you able to, silt did you remove from the pond? How much deeper is it now?
That's from when it was just there down, I would say easily at least 6 feet.
That's
And it was a large area. 60 triaxle loads is a lot of material.
Yeah. Okay.
So it was due.
So, Bob, this is something some residents know. This is a routine every couple of years that this happens, right?
Yeah. Let's see. I guess in the 25 years I've been here, I believe this is third or fourth time we've done it. Obviously, after 2011 was the worst tropical storm late when we had to do the whole pond. So this time we just concentrated on the rubble and the stuff that washed in that was close to the mouth, the island where you'd see all the kids and stuff playing. I'm sure they're going to miss that, but that's where we concentrated on. We didn't have the machinery to get the silt out like we did in 2011. So it's there. It wasn't as bad as it was in 2011. So. But this was a lot of material. It was kind of surprising that there was that much there.
I don't know. Some residents asked me the other day about the wildlife. What happens to the?
There was water. There was some water left in the pond, so there were a lot of fish that made it through that. Obviously, we did lose some. I'm a fish keeper, so it doesn't make me happy that we lost fish. I don't think we could have avoided it. The ducks didn't seem to mind. I was out there quite a bit. The ducks were fine. They're just playing around in the mud. There was a little water for them to swim. So it was just a little disruption for them for a couple of days. So, but other than that, that's all I have to report.
Thanks, Bob.
Sure.
All right. Now this is the library.
Just a reminder that the library will close at 5 o'clock tomorrow, Wednesday the 13th, to allow for everyone to prepare for the long-awaited parade.
Thank you, Alice. Parks and Rec, Zach.
She alluded to, yep. Tomorrow night is our 73rd annual Hershey Halloween Parade. We'll start at 7 o'clock. We're still accepting registrations up until noon tomorrow. So just a reminder, the staging location and the route are different this year due to community center construction. So we'll be staging again at the Hershey Company parking lot on the corner of Chocolate and Homestead. And the parade route will be Caracas to Valley on the Chocolate Avenue and then back to Ceylon. Also upcoming Saturday, October 23rd, we will be showing a Halloween drive-in movie at Schenck Park. featuring the movie Casper, so we would encourage everyone to check that out as well. Also have a quick community center construction update. Currently, there's a lot of drywall finishing work that's being done on site, and we're starting to see some paint going on the walls in the office area, locker room quarter, gymnasium, and the event room spaces. Water piping is being installed in the lap and competition pool, the pump room, and locker room areas. They finished up the outdoor pool coping, as well as the concrete piers for the outdoor slide. And scheduled in the next few weeks, they will begin to pour the concrete pool decks around the leisure pool and also the outdoor pool area. They will also be installing the remaining precast panels in the lap and comp pool area in order to seal up the building here before winter starts.
That's all good. I know we haven't done this before, but in light of Rick's shirt tonight, I make a motion we make him the Grand Marshal of the Halloween Parade.
Wow.
And so he's all, that's the most Halloween appropriate shirt.
You have to wear it tomorrow.
I have another one.
Thank you, Zach. Appreciate the update. Thank you. We'll move over to Township Engineer, Mr. Banana.
I'm just going to update on the Wolfaw Valley pond work. You know, we are doing work with DTMA on the stream bank, upstream of that. So we have about 90% complete plans, and our permit application have been submitted to the Army Corps and DEP. We had four comments on that work, so we're revising that. And I believe DTMA is anticipating doing that stream restoration work next springtime. So with that, you'll have lot more stable banks, and the goal would be then to, you know, keep that dirt in the stream bank and not have it erode down in the pond. So it's great timing to do that now, and hopefully, you know, with the construction next spring, it'll be you know, you won't do it as much with the erosion there. So just want to get the board out there on that in case people are asking about it with the dredging.
Questions?
Matt, with that project that you just mentioned, will that have any impact on the trail, like the use of the trail farther north of the pond in the springtime?
No, it's going to be all sort of the stream, the overbank area of the stream. We are going to do some armoring to protect that trail a little bit, because it, in the past with some of the floods, it eroded some of that trail, and we had to do some repairs there. So we're looking at that part of the design, but that should remain.
Development.
Thank you. I'm looking to get permission to schedule a public hearing on November 23rd for a conditional use application at 731 East Chocolate Avenue for a short-term rental.
Chuck, is that Thanksgiving?
Not quite. It is not quite Thanksgiving.
Is that the Tuesday before?
Yeah. I believe so.
Okay. Anybody have a problem with that day?
Yes.
All right, why don't you go ahead and put it on the calendar?
Very good, thank you. That's all I have.
All right, thank you. All right, Township Manager, Mr. Crispin.
I have nothing additional. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
Well, that brings us to the second public comment session of the agenda. So again, anybody wishing to come forward, just first name, last name, address, and try to keep it to 3 minutes. The floor is yours.
I was anticipating Mr. Gamble to get up before me.
Been here before.
Tracy Brown, 319 Park Avenue. I just want to thank the supervisors and the manager for, you know, investigating a little further into a cooperative service agreement. Thank you to Mr. Crisman for coming out with the USDA and doing a site observation. And thank you to Mr. Bruzzo for coming out on his own. To just, you know, assess what we've been seeing on a daily basis. Hopefully you can get in touch with the owner of the silo to get this all, you know, coming together so that we're not all doing different things and playing ping pong with the vultures, you know, knocking them this way and knocking them that way. I think the neighbors are all on the same page about just wanting to, you know, get a handle on the situation, and we're going to do what we can to help. So if that means coming on our property and putting a dead bird in our tree, then we'll do it, you know, or setting off, you know, pyrotechnics, we're on board. We just want everybody working together, hence cooperative service agreement. So thank you for, you know, thank you for that. I know it's been kind of a long journey trying to address the situation. So thank you. Separate topic, Halloween parade tomorrow. I'm a mom of three. I'm also often a participant marching with the Boy Scouts or other organizations. If the township could possibly put out a public safety disclaimer, trying to tell parents to keep their kids out of the street. I know it's been an issue in years past where kids are scrambling into the road for candy, and it's dark. Some of these areas are dark. Chocolate or cocoa is dark. Some of these side streets are dark, and there's vehicles. And, you know, that's always a concern as a mom and a participant. So, thank you.
We could develop something else.
Yeah, it's for leadership. That's probably the best way to communicate this quick, this close.
I think so. I mean, yeah, I do. I just wanted to thank you for all that you've done to bring the vulture situation to our attention, and for supporting all of your neighbors. The one idea I had, if you haven't done already, is to maybe get with the neighbors so that you have a list of their names and contact information, because when there is some sort of agreement, hopefully in place, then it would be easy for Tony to be able to reach out to all of them so that you don't have to be the lone representative.
Yeah. You know? So the unique thing about Trinidad is a lot of them are rentals. Mm-hmm. One of the major stakeholders, he owns about five of those properties along Trinidad. So I have been primarily in touch with him and a couple of the renters. They're not the property owners. So I'm not exactly sure who the landlords are. Some of them are from out of the area, from what I gather. I'm sure you can go on the Dauphin County site to see who the property owners are for some of those places.
Would you have a list of that, or not really?
No, we typically go to Dauphin County website to try and mine out who they might be.
The trash. That's what I did.
Trash, not trash. DTMA would have, because that's not a lienable.
Well, and occasionally we'll ask the tax office.
Yeah. We'll figure it out. That's a good point. Chris ought to have like a list to the best of our ability, just so that if we schedule a meeting, we're hitting the most people possible in your neighborhood.
No, I agree.
If the township's helping, the HMR is helping, and the silo owners are helping, but the neighbors aren't, then we're missing that piece of the puzzle.
Yeah, absolutely. So, I mean, I can go to the tax website for the county as well,
I mean, I think Chuck and Chris can handle that part, Chris will really take the lead as being the point. I think you're overjoyed by that, but you've had all the contact with all the right people, so you want to keep that going. Thank you, Chris.
Okay, thank you.
Anyone else? Then, seeing as there's no one else to come forward, we'll move to the next item, which is adjournment. Do we have a motion?
I make a motion to adjourn.
Motion made by Mr. Zabuda. Is there a second?
Second.
Seconded by Mrs. Nutt. All in favor, vote aye.
Aye.
Meeting adjourned.